Hallo und herzlich willkommen, liebe Zuhörerinnen. Heute melden wir uns wieder aus dem Studio Da kommt's, der Core Facility Medientechnik Medizin Tübingen. Wir sind Dr. Lydia Kogler und
Dr. Simone Behrens
vom Standort Tübingen und wir moderieren heute als Early Career Scientists, also ECS, den Podcast Inside DZPG Mind Matters. Wir interviewen für Sie und euch interessante ECS aus allen Standorten zu sich und ihrem beruflichen Engagement und dann auch noch zu ihrer DZPG-Forschung. Heute haben wir Dr. Leila Czulic aus Jena zugeschaltet und da Leila keine Muttersprachlerin ist, wechseln wir nun ins Englische. Leila, we are very happy to have you here with us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
We are recording this session on November 7, 2025 and we are now discussing the research of Dr. Leila Czulic. Leila heads the Junior Research Group Neuroimaging and Adversity and Affective Psychopathologies at the University Hospital Jena. She has studied biology at the University of Zagreb in Croatia. Afterwards, she moved to Switzerland for a research position. She has experience with working in rodent models on social and affective behavior. From Lausanne in Switzerland, she moved on to Magdeburg, where she started to work with Professor Martin Walter as a PhD student.
As a side note, within this podcast, Professor Walter was already interviewed by Professor Stefan Zipfel. If you're interested, you can listen to Professor Walter in episode number 5.
In her PhD, Leila switched to working in humans and explored the neural background in affective disorders. After finishing her PhD, she held postdoc positions at the Leibniz Institute for Neurobiology and the Yale School of Medicine in the United States of America. There she witnessed the early phases of the corona pandemic. In 2021, she returned to Germany and continued to work with Martin Walter, who in the meantime had settled in Jena. Within the DZPG, she not only leads the ACE Decode project that we discussed with Susanne Edelmann previously in episode 4 of this podcast, she is also involved in one of the regular projects of the DZPG site Halle Jena Magdeburg. This project has the charming abbreviation ELPIS, which is short for Early Adversity Impact in Stress Dynamics, Neural Circuit Basis of Maladaptation. Leila has special skills in resting state fMRI, magnetic resonance spectroscopy, and childhood adversity. She loves to work in multidisciplinary teams. Leila, within the DZPG domains, the project ELPIS is located in the research area domain 1, risk and resilience across the lifespan, and in its cluster 1, early adversity and trauma. In preparation for this podcast, you listed several names as responsible for the DZPG project ELPIS. What is it about and why does it need such a large headcount?
So, the idea behind our ELPIS project is to have parallel work in animal or rodent models and humans. And in animals, there's different levels. So we have experts from Linn, headed by Stefan Remy and Alessio Attardo, who work on synaptic plasticity, dynamic synaptic plasticity, and the effects of early life adversity on those processes. They do very fancy, and now my brain is blocked, type of imaging, where they actively monitor the ongoing birth and death of synapses. On the other hand, we also have Anne Albrecht, who works on behavioral models, as well as the effects of inflammation and the interaction with early life adversity. We also have Institute of Biology that's headed by Oliver Stork, where they look at electrophysiology. And then we have the human part here in Jena, where Veronika Engert and I are involved in looking at fMRI, as well as physiology aspects of acute stress and the interaction with early life stress. So we have a bunch of different levels of investigating same, let's say, domain of early life adversity. So that's why the big headcount, because everyone's a bit expert in something else. But I'm very excited to work on a translational project because my background is, as you said, biology. So I will still have a big place in my heart for animal research. My partner is also a molecular biologist and a behavioral biologist. So he always tells me about the new stuff that's happening. And I think it's very important to have kind of this constant crosstalk, especially when you work in the area of mechanistic models, as well as, you know, investigating specific region, for example, and its involvement in processes like anxiety or fear processing or fear memory.
Very interesting. Thank you. Can you tell us maybe something about how this project develops? Because I can imagine that starting from zero, translational research across animals and humans that are really interacting is kind of difficult. How was it in your case?
So we're still developing. It's not perfect. The thing is that I think everybody had expertise and was doing some sort of similar work already. The idea was to put the previous work from each person in the same overarching topic and overarching goal. We also have another project, which is Social Interactions, led by Ilona Croy, that do similar type of thing, where they cross-talk between animal researchers and human researchers and ask same questions and then answer it in both. Of course, it's challenging because a lot of tasks that are developed for humans are not applicable in rodents and vice versa. So we're still also discussing on what are the best ways to have a very similar task, for example, in both humans and rodents, and then measure the same outcomes after early life adversity. Another thing that I think is also very important is that there's different models of early life adversity in rodents, and in humans it's usually a mixture. So it's not like you have a very, you know, one type of thing that happens. Usually it's a lot. So also, of course, it will never be one-to-one translatable between the two.
Leila, can you tell us about your part in the ELPIS project?
Yeah, so we're for the human part right now, we're measuring acute stress response and its interaction with early life adversity. And next to it, we're also measuring things like heart rate and hormones. And we're also measuring other questionnaires, such as those that look at emotional regulation, for example. In addition, as I said, we're trying to implement this paradigm where we will have ambiguous cues that will be then matched with the animal researchers. The paradigm already exists in a behavioral form, so we would also like to do it in the scanner to then look at the brain activation patterns and brain connectivity during processing of these ambiguous reward and fear cues and its association with early life stress.
Leila, we discussed about translation and impact in clinical settings in our last episode. And you said that specifically the people with lived experience always want to know what the actual impact will be of the project. How is this with this project? Is there any perspective on how this could be translated into clinical concepts later on?
So, for example, this is something that we thought about in ACE Decode, in the Visions project. Of course, it's a multi-step thing. So you have to say, you know, this is basic research, and then afterwards we have this, and then afterwards we have this, and then maybe comes the clinical implementation. So how I would say it in maybe lay term is that we're trying to understand different ways early life stress can affect people, because it doesn't affect people in the same way. So what it can do to someone, for example, you then develop bad emotional regulation or maladaptive emotional regulation, and then that should be targeted in your therapy. For other people, it might involve impulsivity, and then they might benefit from different approach in their treatment. So right now, I think we're in a path where we're trying to understand what are the neural as well as physiological basis of these differences, to then think of, is pharmacological way the best to treat? Is therapy the best way to treat? But without knowing the basis, we will never understand where does this heterogeneity of experiences stem from. Is it also what could also be? And I'm not dismissing social environment. I think that's a huge, huge, huge component. And that's why we also need more social neuroscientists also in our teams. for sure.
So keyword would be also personalized medicine here, right? That we come up with.
Yes. But I don't like using that word because it's such a long way. I feel like if we start using it early on, it will get overused. You know what I mean? Like it's, of course, it's, and that's the goal and things, but it's, I feel like we're in the beginning of the way. Yeah. So I don't use it lightly, so to say.
Yeah. And it absolutely makes sense that for these very detailed, high level ground basic research, it makes sense to look out for experts, like lived experience experts who already have, who are already experts within the respective topic. Because otherwise, I guess you would spend months and ages to discuss the relevant basic concepts of how you think and deal with things.
I don't think it's necessarily just about the understanding. I think it's about the interest. I think a lot of people have more interest in more pragmatic projects, which are clinical trials or dissemination activities and things like that. I don't think there's, you know, obviously there's also less interest from a pharmacal expert in the basic research. And I think that's also something that we as researchers need to work on to be more proactive in explaining and in involving the PPI community in this type of research.
And as you said, even in these projects where they were not contributing to the design, they can be extremely helpful in supporting you and how you would explain it to them so that they get caught.
Yeah. A very plain explanation.
That we had for each project in our standard. And we had a team of wonderful PPI led by Heike Steklum, who were literally like, they were doing that, helping with how to frame things and how to explain things.
Dear Leila, thank you so much for sharing these insights about your work with us. If anyone would like to get in contact with you about your research, how would they best reach you out?
So they can email me on lejla.colec at medunijena.de, and I'm happy to get into contact with anyone who's interested to hear more about our research as well as the Halle Jena Magdeburg Standort and also the opportunities that we have here. So if you're looking for a PhD or a postdoc, feel free to contact us.
Thank you again, Leila. This was today's ECS episode within the podcast Inside DZPG Mind Matters. Tschüss.